Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Shike.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shike. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Well, the Trump-Biden, or Biden-Trump, depending on how you want to look at it, presidential debate is now complete. It's in the books. Wanted to wait a couple of days and let the dust settle here and then give you some observations, some comments from at least where I'm sitting about what we saw at the Biden-Trump debate. So what we're going to do is I got seven observations, so you can keep track of them as they go. So here we go. Let's dig in. First observation, this is that comes from, I think this is the best analysis I've heard of the debate, actually, so I'm kind of stealing this from someone else. I forget who. The candidates spent 90 minutes convince us that the other person was the worst president in American history, which is probably an exaggeration. We'll talk about exaggerations in a little bit. But anyway, the candidates only got emotional when they started going at it about who had the best golf game. That seems to be the most important issue they faced as they got going. And so my take on the golf thing, actually, I was shocked that Biden challenged Trump to a round of golf if Trump could carry his own clubs, his own bag. So, and I'm sitting, as when he said that, I thought, oh my gosh, this is it right here. And I thought Trump for sure would say, okay, you're on. We're both carrying our own bags. Let's see who gets to the end. And based on Biden's performance that night, I don't think that he could carry his own clubs around the golf course for one hole, let alone 18, which gets me to my second observation. And this is not unique to me. It's I'm sure all of you observe the same thing, but here I have a unique take on it. Biden struggled physically and mentally in that debate. There is no doubt about it. Of course, people are always into exaggerations, saying it was the worst debate in history, et cetera, et cetera. Worst debate performance, I should say, in history. And what I was sitting there thinking as the debate was going on about Biden's performance was nothing. Biden's performance did not surprise me at all. His lack of mental acuity, lack of ability to end sentences and that sort of thing, it didn't surprise me at all. And yet once the debate was over, I heard talking heads from all sides of the political spectrum and beyond saying, wow, how shocking it was that Biden could not, you know, finish sentences, could not complete thoughts, was saying things he didn't mean, except, like, for instance, the whole challenging Trump to a game of golf where they both carried their bags. Surely he didn't mean that. So here's the deal. We've been told by a lot of the mainstream press over the past couple of months, even longer years, not to believe our lying eyes. These clips we've seen of Biden stumbling and so forth have been called cheap fakes by the White House and by many in the press. And so those same people then seem to be surprised at what they saw in Biden's performance at that debate. If you were surprised at Biden's performance in that debate, if you were surprised that he was not able to complete thoughts and sentences and stumbled around, then I would encourage you to start listening to some different news sources. Because I, for one, was not surprised at all. It didn't even faze me. I didn't even think it was an issue until I turned off the debate and realized that all these talking heads were talking about that. To me, that was just who Biden was. It's how he's appeared for the last number of years. So I hope he's appeared that way to you. I hope you know what's going on. And if you don't, then start listening to different news sources, I'd suggest. Third observation. It's been claimed over and over and over again about the debate that Trump lied 30 times, whatever the number is. And I decided I'm going to try to examine those 30-some lies. And as I did, here's my impression of them. generally speaking, I think of a lie as something as a complete 180-degree out-of-phase falsehood. For instance, a lie would be saying that Biden, as Biden said in the debate, and I don't think he lied. I think it was he just was another one of his mistakes. But he said he was endorsed by the Border Patrol, to which the Border Patrol then tweeted out on X very quickly, yeah, we never endorsed him. If Biden meant that, if he didn't just say it by mistake, if he meant it, that would be a lie because it's completely 100% false. Or to say the Hunter Biden laptop is Russian disinformation, that would be a lie. That's a completely 100% false. Those things are lies. As I've looked at Trump's 30 lies, whatever they're called, what he seems to do to me is exaggerate and exaggerate often and sometimes extreme exaggerations. For instance, to give an example, insinuating that everyone who crosses the border is a murderer and a rapist, that all these countries are emptying out all their jails and sending them all here. Well, that's an exaggeration, certainly. How can we not know this, that not everyone who crosses the border is a criminal, right? That's obviously not true. So in that sense, it's a lie, but it's more of an exaggeration. What he's trying to get across there is that when someone crosses the border, they are a criminal in their home country, come here and commit murder or rape or whatever, those murders and rapes, etc., and other crimes could easily have been prevented in the United States by simply closing the border. And so that's what he's getting at, but he's doing it with an extreme exaggeration that becomes a problem, not only because he's exaggerating and it kind of sounds over the top, shall we say, at best, that's putting the best construction on it. But the problem with all his exaggerations is that sometimes he's not exaggerating. Sometimes things really are as crazy as he says they are, but it's hard to sort that out when he's exaggerating about everything. And so, for instance, the Democrat position on abortion is one thing. Trump talked about that in the debate, and the Democrat position, by and large, is extreme, a very extreme position on abortion, far more extreme than polls would show most Americans are at in terms of their position on abortion. So, but when Trump is constantly exaggerating, oftentimes in huge ways, when he says what is in fact very close to the truth, if not the truth about abortion and the Democrat position, it's hard to distinguish it from an exaggeration because he's exaggerating all the time. So it doesn't help him or the viewer at all. Speaking of that, my fourth observation, and that is abortion. Trump's answers on abortion were horrible, in my opinion. He said over and over again, I don't know how many times, 3 or 4 times at least, everyone wanted the decision about abortion to be returned to the states when he was defending the overturn of Roe v. Wade. Now, I love the fact that Roe v. Wade was overturned, and Trump campaigned on that, and he fulfilled that promise that he would appoint judges who would, not specifically, vote to overturn Roe v. Wade, but who would read the Constitution the way it was written, and therefore, because Roe v. Wade is not in there, would overturn it. Great that he did that. But the fact is, everyone, again, what an exaggeration, did not want the decisions about abortion to return to the states. In fact, there are many. In fact, Biden said he's one of them who would like the federal government to make the decision about abortion and the availability of abortion and have it be available almost throughout pregnancy for almost any reason. We'll get into that in a minute. So Biden doesn't want it returned to the states. He doesn't want that to happen. So not everyone does. And in fact, a lot of pro-lifers don't want it returned to the states either. They want the federal government to actually protect life, to actually go back to the Declaration of Independence and say that life is a right given to us by God himself. And this government is instituted to protect that right, the right to life. So Trump was simply wrong on that. There are a few that wanted it returned to the states, maybe a majority, but not everyone. Trump also talked about how he supported chemical abortions, which are now over half abortions are done via pharmacies, we'll say. That's tragic that he supports that, in my opinion, because I'm pro-life. And so to have over half the abortions in the country supported by him, don't like it at all. He also said that he was glad that the people of the states are deciding about this issue, and he specifically mentioned Ohio. Let's see, a people of Ohio have decided about whether abortion should be legal or not in Ohio. And I very strongly disagree with the decision of the people in Ohio, because the people in Ohio, and you can look it up, have given free rein to abortion. They say through 21 weeks of pregnancy, but in actuality, because of the wording of the statute, any attending healthcare professional, whoever that is, whatever their training is, doesn't matter, but the attending healthcare professional is able to, along with a woman, determine that the life or health of the woman is in danger and therefore have an abortion way beyond 21 weeks. Well, we've talked in other podcasts about how the life of the mother is one thing, the health of the mother, or in Ohio's case, the pregnant person, I'd call her a mother, the health of the mother is an exception that you can drive a semi through, because the health of the mother can mean anything. It can mean financial health, emotional health, physical health. It can mean anything. Familial health. It can mean anything. And so essentially what Ohio has done is made abortion legal through all 9 months of pregnancy. President Trump was right about the Democrat position in the debate, but he was wrong to support what Ohio has done. He should have said, I'm glad the people got a choice, but I strongly disagree with their choice. And I will work as president in my capacity and the bully pulpit to help people understand God's gift of life. Even though abortion is still legal in Ohio, for instance, I will definitely make my view known that God is the giver of life and that this is a bad law. So anyway, strongly disagree with President Trump, former President Trump, on that. All right, number five, and we'll kind of wrap these up here. Number five. It's important then, as you look at these two men, Trump and Biden, Biden and Trump, to know that we are not electing a person. When you go into the ballot box to vote, or if you vote by mail or whatever you do, which I think is a problem in our country, but anyway, you're not electing a person. So you're electing a position. We are electing a party, a platform. We're electing thousands of people when we check that box for Joe Biden or Donald Trump. We're electing thousands of people, essentially, who will serve with that person and will put their policies into practice. I think the quote from Bill Maher is just instructive and very, very funny on this topic. This is a quote from Bill Maher a couple of months ago. He said, I've said many times, if it is Trump and Biden that we have to vote for, that's our choice. He said, quote, I would vote for Biden's head in a jar of blue liquid versus Donald Trump. Now, I think that's pretty funny, but it makes the point. It makes the point that we're not voting for a person. Whether you think, so the issue really is not whether Joe Biden is competent physically, mentally to be president, whether Donald Trump is exaggerates too much and sends too many bad tweets. That's not the issue. The issues are the positions that these two men take, that they represent in their parties. The issue is who they will put in place to govern our country. That's the key issue. Now, it may also be a subsidiary issue as to whether you think a person is intellectually capable. But the real key issue is the positions, and that's who we should be voting for. John Stone Street. This is number six. I'll take it from John Stone Street. He says, the choice is not here between the lesser of two evils. The choice is how best to lessen evil, which I think is an interesting quote. The choice is not between the lesser of two evils. The choice is how best to lessen evil as we vote. So if we say, well, I don't like Biden because of this, and I don't like Trump because of that, so I'm not going to vote. Well, not voting, then you're protesting against the choices we've been given. But that, in fact, is to make a choice. And so I would encourage us to examine the positions that these two men, these two parties represent, the people that they will bring along with them into government, and then vote. And as you examine these different positions, not all areas in which positions are taken are equal. So, to use a dramatic example, your position, whether it's Biden, Trump, Republican, Democrat, your position on whether daylight savings time should be retained is not nearly as important as your position on Ukraine. And that's not nearly as important, in my opinion, as your position on life. Life is the key position. Also, then, other positions. Your position on the role of parents in raising children versus the role of the state. That's becoming a key question in our nation. A person's position on the Middle Eastern conflict and Israel and Hamas, a key issue, key difference. Your position on the border, how the border is managed. Those are key issues. And the parties and the people at the head of the party, Biden and Trump, clearly have different positions. So we're voting for the position, which will be implemented, rather than the person. Final thing, number seven. This comes from Chuck Colson. If you don't know who he is, he served with President Richard Nixon and did time in prison for his role in Watergate, became a strong Christian there, and has had great influence. Chuck Colson said, quote, "Salvation is not coming on Air Force One." I think that's a great line, a great quote for us to remember as we vote, that salvation is not coming on Air Force One. There's something even more important than our vote for president, our vote for dog catcher, and anywhere in between. And that is what we do with Jesus Christ, what the church does in the world. Salvation, improvement really of our country, because our country can't be saved, but a country can be improved, country can be restored perhaps in some ways, made better in other ways. Those kind of cultural improvements come from the church, from Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ on earth. And so it's incumbent upon us as Christians to vote, yes, to pay attention to politics, yes, but to understand that salvation doesn't come on Air Force One. And of all people, Chuck Colson should know that. He's ridden on Air Force One, and he knows that salvation doesn't come there, that the culture changes when the church is the church, when we as the body of Christ live out Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, when we live that out in our daily lives, when we live our lives as followers of Jesus, when we realize that we exist for the one who doesn't yet know Jesus and bless them, that's where our country has changed. That's how the world has changed, one person at a time. And so the early Christians, what was said about them? As the Christians spread around the Roman Empire, the Roman emperors got worse and worse, and yet the people said, here come those Christians who've turned the world upside down. We can turn the world upside down. Voting, yes, important, but even more important by order of magnitude is living our lives as followers of Jesus, loving our neighbor as Jesus has loved us. Well, I hope that's a blessing to you as we think through what we saw in the debate last week, and as we look forward to more craziness in American politics over the next few months as we move towards Election Day. God's blessings to you. Thanks for listening. Write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought of the podcast, what the thoughts you had as you watched the presidential debate. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast.